now it's also, we just segue into something so, so wonderful. We're so privileged to have Catherine Lanham here tonight to share. Catherine is a, yeah, come on, give it up. I didn't even get to say anything yet. Gee whiz. Look at that. I didn't even have to pump her up before they're all standing on their feet. I didn't have to say a word. But I want to say a few things. She is a daughter of this house, and we are so proud to say that. And she's been making kingdom choices like a lot of the young men and women of this house have been doing over the last several years, just making the best choice they can to pursue God sacrificially, with faith journeys. And Catherine has spent a year over at Bethel. She's planning to go back again in September for year two. And it's not about Bethel. It's about her pursuit of Jesus. And that's where he's taking her at the moment. And we just want to honor that and thank God for the work he's been doing in her life and for the wonderful influence that Catherine is for everybody that knows her. Yeah? For the overflow of God in her life that touches anyone that comes near her. And she's paid the price for that now. She's still young. So it's just getting better and better, as it is for all of you, whether you're 6 or 60. It just gets better day by day. The glory of God increases as it's doing in Catherine's life. So, Lord, just bless her word. Let it flow freely. Let it be sweet. Let it be refreshing to her and easy, Lord God, and just full of life. We just thank you for your daughter in Jesus' name.
Thank you. G'day. I just want to start, if everyone can just get in a safe position, and we'll just close our eyes and just turn to the Lord. And just really position your heart to receive from the Father. And I don't feel like it's necessarily the words that I'm speaking tonight that are going to be the key, but I feel like God is releasing a grace in this room tonight for encounter. And just to go off the back of worship, it's all about Jesus. Jesus, it's all about you. So we turn our affection to you, Father. We say, come and speak, come and work in our hearts. Draw us closer to the one we love. And Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. You're our heart's desire. So we turn our affection to you and we say, come and speak. Come and move however you want to move, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you. So, I don't know. I just feel off the back of what Sam said. If we can just respond as well, if you're able to, just to take our shoes off. And just recognize that the Lord is here. And so just as a prophetic act, just to say we're in holy ground and we're expecting the Lord to speak. So if you're able, just slip him on off. All right, so I'm going to just talk a little bit about my journey in Bethel and some of the things that the Lord did. But I actually felt like the Lord wants to just bring a word tonight. And it was one that he spoke while I was over there. And he kind of spoke it corporately and then kind of took me on a journey of that word. And the word was that the Lord is doing, he's restoring, or he's releasing revival, but it's a first love revival. And so tonight I just felt like the Lord wanted to talk about that. And when he was speaking to me about it, he just said, well, I'll just read it. It's out of Revelation 2. So it says, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And I just felt like that was the key that the Lord is speaking. Do the things that you did at first. And so in Psalm 51? He talks about restoring to me the joy of my salvation. And there's things that the Lord does when we're saved that he wants to continue. And it's like we can never forget the things that he started with. We can never forget the place where we started. And so I was going through that and I was like, what does that mean for me? Like, what were the things that I did at first? And the thing that the Lord brought to mind was I used to love the word. So I'm all about my little Bible. And he was just talking about like getting back into the word. And there were things that kind of drew me from the word and stopped me from being in that place of like communion with the word. But he was just talking about coming back to that. And I feel like tonight there's a grace for the Lord just to, like, grace empowers us to actually step in and it empowers us to like do. It's not just a gift we receive, but it's actually the empowering force. So I feel like tonight there's a grace for you to step back into the things that you did at first. And specifically, I feel like there's a grace to love the word again. And it's like the word is the thing that gives us context. And Eric Johnson talks about we're a generation where there's just so much going on, but it's a generation that longs for truth. And everything's going on, but no one has like context for what's going on. And so the example he uses is if you say the word sex, everyone has like 100 different thoughts on what that means. But as soon as you say God created sex, it gives us a context. And so that's what the Bible is for us. It's our context. And we're to be a people that take a context to the world, that give the world context for all that's going on. But to be able to do that, we have to be intimate with the word. We have to know the word and have it like sealed in our hearts, buried in our hearts. And just the word is so good. I think we sail from that and we think that we can get onto better things or there's other things. Like I need to like practice the, you just talked about the prophetic thing. But like I don't know, there's 100 different things, but God's just like, come back to the simple things. Jesus was the word. Jesus is the word. Jesus will be the word. He was there at the beginning. The word was God. The word is our revelation of Jesus. And it's like Jesus wants to be our first love and he's hidden himself for us in the word. And so right now, I just feel like there's grace to receive that renewal of love for the word and to step into that. And so I just encourage you to ask the Lord, like, where is the grace for me in the word? Even right now, we'll just pause. And I just want you all just to ask God, where am I meant to be reading in the Bible at the moment? Is there a book that you want me to like bury myself into? So take a few seconds to do that. He talks pretty quickly, so that should get the job done. My word's pretty simple tonight. The second thing that I want to talk about is trust. So something that Bill said, I was like, there's so much going on at Bethel. There's like all people manifesting. And I'm just like someone that just stands there like I know you're here, God. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust that you're doing something. And so for me, a lot of the first 5 months, I just had no idea what God was doing. Where I was like, I was feeling these stirrings in my heart, but I had no idea exactly like how to articulate what he was doing or what he was actually speaking to me. While everyone else seemed to be, comparison, but everyone else seemed to be able to be like, this is what he's doing and could kind of list it off. And then the Lord like kind of pulled me aside and was just talking to me about, it's just a season of faith and it's a season of trust. Just trust that that's my nature, that I'm faithful, that I'm doing something, that if you position yourself, I will always come through. And so I think that's the second thing that I think is so significant in remembering our first love and coming back. And at salvation, we step into salvation because we trust him. We trust that what he said, his death on the cross was enough to make amends. And so it starts with trust. And I just feel like the Lord is like, come back to me and trust the words that I speak. And trusting, I think it goes very much in line with that letting go of the old to lay hold of the new. We press in to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of us. And we have to let go of old mindsets. We have to let go of things that aren't truth to actually lay hold and believe the truth that Jesus speaks over us. And so for me, that was a huge thing. I think the first few months, I had all these negative mindsets. I had no idea how many lies I believed and what strongholds I'd allowed them to have over me. So just a little religious girl. So I had just a lot of things that I just couldn't even believe that I still believed. And then there just came this point where I was like, God's shining all this truth. And they talk about it the first year is like, they're just shining all this light in and exposes all the darkness. And I kind of imagine it in my head. It's like the light casts extra long shadows. And so you can see the things, even the little things that are casting shadows in your life. And so I was at this point where there was just so much light being kind of put into my heart. And then it sort of comes to this point of, will I believe what God says? Or will I sort of just stumble through trying by works to get along? And then, yeah, I guess I just got to this point where I was like, all right, I let go. And lay hold in faith of what Jesus actually speaks over me. And as I did that, just the joy that came of believing his word, that it was not by what I did, it wasn't anything that I'd attained for myself, but it was just his truth over our life. And so I think trust very much goes in line with identity. And we actually, identity is like a key piece of first love. Because it's like Jesus came for a perfect bride. He came for people, I don't know. Jesus like paid the highest price for us. And when we align to that truth, we actually make ourselves like a better bride for him. And it's like, it's just all about intimacy. It's all about love. And so just like stepping into identity actually sets us up to remember our first love. And so just once again, I just feel like there's a grace tonight to actually let go of the old and to lay a hold of the truth that he's spoken over us, the identity and all those little lies that come, to actually just stand on trust and be like, I have nothing that qualifies me to believe this outside of that you say it's true. And I was talking to one of my mentors one time and just talking about like just the little things, like how I just don't believe that my voice has much worth. And then she was saying that it's like declaration. So Steve and Wendy Backlund talk about it. And it's like an apple tree is an apple tree, whether it has apples on it or not. And we're like that as Christians. We are the beloved. We're those who overflow. We're those who, I don't know, are victorious in everything, whether we see it now or not. And Hebrews 11 talks about all the greats that went before, and they had the promise before them, but they never actually saw the fulfillment of that. But they pressed in because they knew that they were going towards something. And it's only together with us that the promise is fulfilled. But by faith, they laid hold of their destiny. Even though they didn't actually see it fulfilled, they lay hold of it and they were able to step into that. And that's how God wants us as Christians. He wants us to be those who step in by faith, whether we see it or not. And something that Bill said, I don't know if I already just said this before, but I just blanked. He says that bold faith stands on the shoulders of quiet trust. And so it begins in those secret places where we're just like, God, I choose to trust you in this. I actually see no fruit, but I choose to trust you in this. And so I don't think I've gone for very long. But I just feel like there's the invitation of God on those two things, of renewing your love for the word and for actually just trusting God just in everything that he speaks over us and what he says, his promises, that he actually wants us to stand in line and just believe, you said it, so I believe it. It's not, yeah, you said it, so I believe it, Jesus. And so tonight, I think just in line with what the Spirit was doing earlier, I don't know, Caleb, can you guys come and play that song again? That Jesus song? For me, only Jesus? And then, I don't know, if anyone's just feeling a stirring tonight, I just feel like God, it's not about the words we speak, but it's about the encounter that we have with God. And so tonight, I just want to leave space for us to actually just encounter the Father and to come back into alignment with our first love, to remember him who laid hold of us, to take hold of him who took hold of us. And tonight, I thought like the name of the sermon would be The Art of Remembrance, remembering our first love. And that can look different for all of us. I think these are two key pieces that there's a grace on, but it can look different for everyone. And so just to pause and be like, where have I forgotten you, Father? Like, where have I forgotten my first love? And where is the grace? And I thought I'd call it The Art of Remembrance, because art is a subjective thing. It looks different to all of us. What's art to me might not look like art to you. But so how you come back to your first love is going to look different. But I think it's always important to ask God, like, where have I wandered? Where have I lost sight of the one thing that matters? And then just to respond in trust, and then also to get grounded in the word. And so we'll just pause again and just ask God, like, what is the thing that you are speaking to me? What is the place that I've wandered? Or what is the place that you just want to strengthen me? Sometimes we don't even necessarily wander, but he just wants to strengthen us more. And so just pause and ask Holy Spirit. Lord, we just recognize you as our first love. Jesus, we come back to you. We repent for turning away. We repent for the places where we've trusted our own intellect, where we've taken control. And we repent and we turn back to you, Jesus. We turn back to you and we lay hold of that grace to return to our first love. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Word. Thank you that you are the Word and you've given us the Word to know you. So Lord, I pray that you'd give us a love for the Word, that as we hunger for it, as we read it, that hunger would increase even more. That we would wake up wanting to read the Word, Lord. And I just pray for grace as well to believe the truth that you speak over us. We choose to believe your words. We choose to believe your words instead of our own. We thank you that you're just so gracious. Thank you that your words are always good. Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. I just pray your blessing over this group tonight, Lord. Thank you for a group of hungry ones that burn for you. Jesus, we love you.
I just feel like some of you don't go anywhere. Some of you just need to get a picture of Jesus turning his gaze upon you, but it's wide. His eyes are wide open with joy. He delights in you. I think there's still some of us in the house here, in light of what the Holy Spirit has shared through Catherine, that we do not believe that God is absolutely in love with us, that he tolerates us, that he died for us, that we are forgiven, but it's the begrudging forgiveness and the hesitant hug of a son of God who is compelled, or a father who is compelled by the price he's paid, and he's less than delighted. We have these ideas that dog us, that filter his love on us. And this evening, you have to surrender to the truth that as you turn to him, he turns his gaze toward you. As you draw near to him, he's promised to draw near to you. If you will confess that he is your Lord and Savior, the lover of your soul, that he comes to you like a lover, and his face is wide open with passion and acceptance and delight in you. He laughs with you. He dances over you with joy. You need to know that. And even if you don't feel it, like Catherine was saying, you need to say, amen, I surrender to it. I believe it. Even though I don't necessarily feel it. And you need to declare it over yourself that Jesus is in love with you, absolutely delighted in you, longing for intimacy with you. And as you continue to declare it and surrender to it and abandon yourself to that truth and repent of the lie and repent of the foolishness in your life and all the other stuff that distracts and clouds, then that reality, that truth will become more and more evident in your life. How many, when Catherine asked us to pause and get a starting place back in the Word of God, how many got a starting place? Anybody? Yeah, but just put your hand up. You got a starting place. That's good. That's good. I just wanted you to put your hand up so that it seals the deal. Yeah? It seals the deal so that even tonight, before bed, you go home and you begin. And you begin standing on the truth, standing on the promise that God has indicated to you a starting place to rejuvenate that first love. And so you're going to begin. It may not come with bells and whistles. It may not come with fireworks and a profound rhema. It may, praise God, but it may not. But either way, you're going to begin. So good. So good. Honey, you brought so much good stuff tonight, Catherine. I just want to honor you. Yeah, stand up, honey. Stand up. So good. It's such a privilege to have such wealth and such grace in the house through such young lives. And I tell you, it's tempting, David. You get a good word like this, man, you could preach for 5 more hours just jumping off stuff that Catherine has said. But one of the things you said, honey, that is near to Dave's heart, it's the nature of the prophetic to call the future into the present. And so many of us are bound up with the past, right? And we drag the past kicking and screaming into our present. We're just hauling it all the time. And Jesus said, let go of it. This is the message that you brought. Let go of that stuff. And lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. What has he laid hold of you for? Not just to keep you where you are. Certainly not to keep you bound by where you've been. But to bring you into a future that of his design. And to bring you into the fulfillment of the name that he gives you in Revelation 2. When we lay hold of his name, and he gives you then a white stone, which has a name on it that nobody else has. And it's only known between you and him, and it's your identity, but it's a future identity. But we can only start accessing and stepping into it if we let go of where we've been, and all the stuff that dogs us and burdens us and weighs us down and condemns us. That word that Kay gave us, forgive yourself for that foolishness and get beyond it. Let go of it. And now say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I lay hold of the future that you've designed for me, and I bring it into my present. Let it begin to manifest now. Let freedom and forgiveness and joy and grace and power and anointing and delight and laughter and love begin to manifest in my life and in the lives of everyone that I touch, because that's who you are and you live in me. Come out more. Come out more. And so you begin to declare your own future over your present. Bring it in. Bring it in. By faith. By faith. Can I say that's what Catherine's been preaching? Sweetheart, bless you for that.